Welcome, Abundant Babe. I have been waiting for you, and I get the feeling I know you pretty well already. Because like me, you are the visionary, the eternal optimist, the one who embraces all aspects of her divine feminine while being grounded with ambitious and driven energy. You've got big dreams, and you're ready to make it all happen. Well, let me tell you, soul sister, you've come to the right place. The Abundant Babe podcast is designed for goddesses just like you. We will talk about purposeful business, personal growth, mindset, money, manifestation, success, goals, all with a splash of spirituality and a tad of silliness. I know you've got it in you, and now is the time, beautiful. Trust in yourself and take action on what myself and other Abundant Babes share in this sacred space. And believe me, babe, your life will continue to change and expand. I'm your host, Viola Hug, multi-passionate entrepreneur, mentor, and coach. And my purpose is to help visionaries manifest everything they want through alignment, spirituality, and tangible strategy. It is so great to have you here. Now let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome back to the Abundant Babes podcast. It is Viola tuning in from Bali, and I'm so excited to be with an incredible human today, a human who is also expecting another human like me. Good news, but I'm so excited to welcome to the podcast Michaela Lloyd. So Michaela is a really good friend of mine. She's someone that I actually know in real life. We've met in 3D. I know, so cool. Hashtag 5D actually. And she is a confidence and clarity coach for aspiring entrepreneurs who are ready to ditch their 9-to-5 and be paid for their purpose, which is fucking badass. And her and I have definitely connected a lot more lately. She's also the host of the Pace to Be You podcast, which is super awesome and is just so much fun. And I just love having conversations with her. So thank you so much for being here today, Michaela.
Thank you for having me. I love having this time with you, and it's so nice to be on the other end of it because I love listening to your podcast. It's just the tip.
Thank you. Thank you. I know. It's so exciting. So you're going to be able to listen to this episode and be like, oh my gosh,
it's going to be so fun. Yeah, like 3 times.
Yeah.
I know my mom will too.
Oh yes. I love it. So Michaela, let's get to know you a little bit more. Who are you? Where are you from? What you do?
So as you already said, I'm Michaela. I like to think I'm from Wellington, New Zealand, which is our big capital. You know, it's pretty small, really. Yeah. But I've recently moved out to the country. So I now live in a little place called the Wairarapa. And I'm in an interesting stage of my journey. And I feel like being pregnant is like this amazing journey I never expected. And it's kind of put the last few years of my life really into perspective. And it's gotten me to a point where I can appreciate and love on every aspect of my journey. So I feel like, as most of us do, my journey has had quite a few different twists and turns. But what I love about it so much is while I can see, you know, from a zoomed out perspective that this was always the way that I was headed, and I can see that it's really always the path that I was on. And yet I feel like I really stumbled into personal development, and I really stumbled into my own personal version of spirituality. Because the only reason why I ever got into personal development, and this isn't something that everyone knows, but I literally wanted enough willpower and discipline to get a thigh gap. Like that was the reason I got into any of this work, was because I thought the problem was me and the problem was my body. And so if I got into some personal development, then I would be able to control my mind and control my body. But I fell a little bit too far down the rabbit hole. So the more I started learning about this stuff.
So you went from like thigh gaps will solve my problems to, oh, my mind and my soul.
Oh, the lack of thigh gap was never the problem.
Yeah. This is so funny as well. I have to say, it's like so funny how you say you stumbled upon it when it's like your soul knew what it was doing the whole time. It was just like, yeah, we're just going to have to give her this carrot because she's clearly not listening, and then she'll figure it out.
And that's actually how it was. Like, I was at home in Nelson, where my parents are from, and I decided to walk into my dad's man cave. Like, I went into his dingy garage, and he had this dusty old bookshelf Mm-hmm. And I saw this book that naturally just caught my attention called Mind Power, mm-hmm. by John Kehoe. And it had the weirdest cover. Like, it looked like a terrible 80s sci-fi cover, like really, really low tech. And I just opened it and all the names of the chapters were just so intriguing to me. And I really liked it because it was a short, compact little book. And I thought, mm-hmm. oh, I could give it this a quick squiz. And I saw that it was all about mindset. And I was like, interesting. This is exactly what I need right now. And it really fucked me over in a way, because I was expecting to come out the other side with all these gains that I wanted. And as soon as I got into it, and as soon as I started applying it into my life, I realized, like, whoa, my body isn't the problem. Like, it's the way that my mind is looking at my body, and it's the beliefs I have about my body that are the only problem. Mm. And it was the first time I really woke up to the knowing that there is nothing outside of ourselves we need to feel good enough now.
Wow, yeah.
And I realized, like, I thought that my sense of accomplishment was on the other side. It was always on the other side of the next goal. And then when I woke up to that, it was just like all of a sudden there was so much spaciousness in my life as I realized that we can have fun right now. Like, we can feel good right now. We can move through life so happily right now. And I remember I used to always imagine, like, when I'd be working out, the thing that would get me through, like when I was on the treadmill, I would imagine all these things in my head, like walking into a party where, you know, all my ex-boyfriends were at, and I just looked so amazing. It's like, there was that Guy Sebastian song playing, you know, tell me who's that girl, just walk in the club, like that's what it was. And then, true story, not even joking at all. And when I woke up to the fact that it was my belief systems that were affecting everything, then all of a sudden I was just like, oh, so like, not only can I feel good enough now, like I have nothing to prove now. Mm. So that was big for me. And I wanted to scream it from the rooftops, because I didn't even realize that for the first like 22, 23, 24 years of my life, I was living just in this cloud of thinking. Like, it was like I was drowning in thoughts and I had no freaking clue. Mm-hmm. I just thought that that's what life was. I just thought that, like, oh, you know, someone cuts you off in traffic and so you feel angry. You know, it's got nothing to do with me. It's just a logical conclusion of them being an asshole. And then I realized that my personal thinking was affecting everything. And more than that, like, my personal thinking caused most of my feelings, you know, like with feelings mostly just being physiological responses to our thinking. And with that, I was like, oh my gosh, I have so much control now. And that was amazing. So that was kind of the turning point where I realized that, okay, I can't keep giving unsolicited advice to friends and family all the time. You know, like, there must be another place for this. So I started out doing self-love and confidence coaching, which was freaking awesome. And I loved it. And it was just really, really true for where I was at. And then I realized that the thing that I wanted most, and sometimes I feel like this might sound separate, but I don't believe any parts of our journey are. Like, I believe that every part is affecting every other part. I realized for me that at the time that I was doing that, what I really wanted and craved most, more than serving other people, and obviously these aren't mutually exclusive, they can coexist, but for me at that time in my life, especially as I was starting to approach my Saturn returns, what I wanted most was fun, and I wanted freedom. So any money I would make in my business, I would channel back into my lifestyle. I wasn't focusing on building a business. I just really wanted an escape. And I'd been working, you know, my corporate grind for so long that when I stepped into coaching full time, all of a sudden I was just like, this is amazing. I have all the time. I can do whatever I want. Because while I thought at the time that what I wanted to do was coaching, which it was, I really just wanted a freaking break. Like, I really just wanted to put my feet up and be like, oh, I don't just have to do all the time. And that's all well and good. But at the particular stage I was at, it led to some pretty unhealthy coping strategies. So I ended up starting to smoke a shit ton of weed. And I sort of justified it at the time, because when I would get high, I felt deeply connected to the universe. Like, when I would get high, I would get all these downloads and, you know, see all these messages, and everything just felt so magical. It's like everything was covered in fairy dust, until it wasn't. Like, until it really, really, really wasn't. And I just fell into this shame spiral. And had so much guilt for my actions because I should have known better, right? Like, I've always been such a proud person, and I was always that person of the friend group that had their shit together. So then when all of a sudden I wasn't, it was really hard for me to accept that not only was it okay, but that it was okay to be honest with the people around me. So I stepped away from coaching for a wee while. And in that journey, I've had so much healing. It's been so fun. I've fallen in love and I've moved towns, and I have a sense of stability within myself that I just never had before.
Mm.
Like, I always felt, without even realizing it, that I was chasing something and I was chasing this feeling. And now I just feel really thankful for my life, because having love and support is something that, had I had last time around when I was in entrepreneurship, I probably would have continued. Had I had the love and support last time around, I probably wouldn't have developed such codependencies. And so it's really awesome now, as I have a business helping aspiring entrepreneurs, it's so heartening to do it from this place of strength, but not just strength that I read in a book. You know, like, I feel like I've been someone, like, I have a first class honors degree. I can be a real geek for the literature, and I can love soaking up facts. But I feel like a lot of the information that was fueling me at first was all theoretical. It was shit that I read, it was shit that I heard about, it was stuff that I listened to in podcasts, or like I'd read a book on something and feel like I was an expert. I feel like I've been humble. We all know what that's like.
Well, I laugh because this is the thing, is we all think that it's like the information that's the game changer. Like, we're like, I want to join this program to learn how to do a sale or how to love myself. But it's like such a joke, because we actually learn through doing, we learn through integration. And I feel like it's a paradox all of us face at some point in our journey, where we're just like, oh yes, like, I'm just going to read this book, and then I'm just going to read 25 blog posts and download all the freebies from everyone's website, and I'm going to be an expert. But it's like, no, it's like in the doing, it's in the action, it's in taking action despite the fear, you know, it's in the courage that we really have the game change moments.
And it's in the commitment to taking action, because like you said, all the best information is available for free online. And if information alone were enough, we'd all be millionaires with six packs. Like, we'd all have the perfect life, the perfect relationships, we'd never have a problem, because the information is genuinely out there. And yet information isn't enough if it isn't integrated. Like, and I think that's the power of having a coach, is because when you get skin in the game, like, when we invest money, we're like, well, shit, I better do the thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, how motivated are we? But, you know, yeah, sure, we spent 5 minutes of our time reading a blog post, but where's the incentive to actually apply that information when we've lost nothing? You know, it's having the commitment to keep taking the action, especially when it gets hard.
Yeah. And if I can piggyback on that, like how you said, like, it made such a difference having that love and support from your partner and stuff, and having more stability in terms of like a home and stuff like that in your life. Like, people ask me all the time, they're like, oh, do you think it's because you had Nick that you were successful? And I know for a fact that I am who I am, and I can do what I can do because of Nick. For sure, there's a part of that. But I also know I would have made it work if I didn't have him. You know, like, because I think a lot of times people ask that out of like, it's an excuse. But I, you know, like, oh, how can I make like my situation not as easy as her situation? So that's my excuse of why I'm not successful and she's successful. You know what I mean? Like, we kind of look for the differences when really the power lies in where we look, where we're similar, right? But I think that's what's so powerful about having a coach as well. Like, if you don't have that in your life right now, then you 100% need a coach, because they will love you, they will support you, they will be that person for you, but in a way that's so empowering, where you realize that you've actually had it in you the whole time. You know, like, it's, I think that's such a powerful thing about having a coach as well, is like, it really does, it gives you so much in so many places that you would never, well, I never would have expected before really getting into having a coach and being in this world.
And it gives you that safe container to be who you already are. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that we so often forget, or we so often downplay for people that aren't interested in the things that we are. Like, before I met my partner, I was absolutely 100% on this path anyway. Like, if I was single right now, it wouldn't have made a difference. I knew two things for certainty that I wanted. I knew that I was going to make it work as an entrepreneur because I've always had this spirit. I've always had this want to share a message and to help people. That's been with me through my whole life. Of course, it's looked different in different phases. So that for me was a non-negotiable. And the other non-negotiable is that I've always been one of those Disney princesses dreaming of my prince and, you know, like us riding off into the sunset. And they can totally happen at the same time. I just feel so blessed for me that I was able to get that sense of stability and belief from my partner and just that ooey gooeyness, you know, because when it comes to business, it can feel good. It should feel good, especially when we're in a zone of genius. And for me, when I'm feeling loved up, like when I've just had cuddles from his fuzzy, delicious, hairy chest, I'm just like, you know, like my cup is so full. I'm so happy. Mm-hmm. And that's, I was showing up before him anyway. You know, I was doing the work anyway. And
it's like an enhancement, you know? Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And in many ways, I'd probably have more incentive to do it when I wasn't. Like, it was actually quite interesting at the particular phase I was at when I first met him. I was facilitating epic workshops in Wellington City, and it was called the True Self Series with my friend who's a clinical hypnotherapist. And we were going deep into, you know, who we uniquely are and making people really love on and accept all aspects of themselves so that they can bring their whole self to where they are in their life. And the interesting thing was, is that when I actually met Chris, I was getting so much love and affection from him. Mm-hmm. That all of a sudden I stopped loving my workshops. All of a sudden my workshops felt like work because where I wanted to be with was him. And I'm not saying that it has to be an and or an or. It definitely doesn't. And yet I think that there is genuine wisdom in listening to where our energy is pulled. Because say for instance, had I denied that energy and had I had my attention split in a way that I didn't want to at the time, then maybe things wouldn't have unfolded as they have now, you know, like we have a house together, we have a dog together, like we're expecting a baby together. And in fairness, like this has been an advanced timeline. Like by the time that our baby's born, we will have been together like 2 years. Like, and I'm talking about from dating phase, like from the first date, you know, from that swipe right to when we have a baby, like 2 years. It's been a pretty accelerated time frame, and yet none of it's felt forced because when you do the inner work, and that's the thing, like I was single for 4 years before that, and I got so clear on who I was and so clear on what I wanted that when we got together, it's like there were just so many green lights. We didn't have that awkward teething phase where like we had to push each other's boundaries and have those, you know, drunken arguments because we were clear on who we were. So the time part, like, I feel like we were working on our relationship long before it even started.
That's cool. I love it. So you went on this massive journey, and it's been so awesome to watch as well from my end, because like one of the things that I love the most about watching you is this space that you've been stepping into this year, which is really just like, fuck it, I am who I am. And that's what's going to make me successful. And I love it because, as you know, that's what I preach. I'm just like, business gets to be fun. You get to be you and you get to have all these success. Like there's no compromise. You don't need to be anyone else. You don't need to like do anything else. And I think that it translates so well because like when you hang out with you on social media, when people are hanging out with you, it's just like, it's so fun because everything's just such an insight into your thoughts and your mindset and the way you really, really truly are. And it's so magnetic, you know, and it's not like that there is this filter between who you are online and what you believe you can offer and the way that you show up for business. Like it's all this kind of like beautiful unison. And I love it because I feel like also in business, sometimes we get in our head and like the thing that like grinds my gears the most, not in a way that I'm like annoyed at the person, but in a way like this belief needs to change about the industry of entrepreneurship is when people say like, it's hard or, oh, I just got too overwhelmed, so I had to put my business on hold or blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, that should not be what business is like. Like it really shouldn't. Like, of course we might have seasons in our life where we need more self-care than we do sales, you know, like of course, but it really, if we're doing it in a way that's so aligned, if we're doing it in a way that's from our soul, in a way that you're really leading in so well right now, which I love, is, then it's about us. And it's like, as we nurture ourselves, we nurture our business. And as we show up more as who we are, we attract more people who need to be more of who they are. Right. And that's kind of like your whole brand, Pace to Be You, your podcast, yeah, and what you're doing. Yeah. And it's so cool.
And business gets to meet us where we are. Like, I know, yeah, you know this. And it's just like, say for instance, right now I'm ready to pop in 3.5 months, which is crazy. So for me, it's like, that's not a reason to stop. That's not a reason, especially for me, like I've only recently relaunched my coaching business, but that's not, I'm not going to use that as an excuse to be like, well, you know, later would be a better time to start. My business meets me where I am. So my mentorships at the moment are 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I can bring maximum value in these intense containers where people can actually really get clear on what they want and really like hit go. This isn't, yep, for people that are sitting on the fence, because my business needs to meet me where I am. And I've never felt so motivated because of this deadline. You know, when you don't have such a strong deadline as, you know, being about to birth a baby, I found that it was so easy for me to push my goals off to the future. Because, you know, what's the difference between starting something now or next week or next month? But I'm like, 3.5 months, you know, like I know where my deadline is, but that's not a reason to stop. That's just, it means that my business needs to meet me where we are. And I think that's the cool thing about having a business, is because we get to decide every aspect of it. We get to decide what feels good, and there's no right or wrong way to do it. But if we do it in a way that feels good to us and feels honoring to ourselves and to our energy, then we show up powerfully. We show up excited, because
mm-hmm,
it's for us.
Mm-hmm. So I know one thing that you're big on, because obviously you've had a lot of experiences in your own life and stuff as well, but for people listening that maybe are in a space, whether they're like just kind of getting started, whether they're at a space where they're just like going through growth or whatever it is, like, I feel like because this is the thing, like I'm in this like really amazing high level mastermind, and there's such a range of people in there. There's like people that are, literally just making a few thousand dollars a month. And there's people who are like literally making $100,000 a month. Like, it is just like such an intense variety of people. But the problems, the fears, the concerns, the thoughts, like they're all the same. You know, at every level, they're the same. And they come up in different ways, and they come up, you know, whatever, but it's always like there's so much similarity to it. And so it's actually a very natural thing that as we grow, we're met with like beliefs are like, I thought I busted through you already. Like, what are you doing back here? But it's a new angle. It's a new way the belief is coming through. And sometimes that catches us really off guard, and we get caught by that, and it can hold us back, right? Like, for example, like you could have told yourself the story that you're having a baby, so now is the time for you to focus inward and put your business on hold. Or you could have told yourself the story, I'm having a baby, this is the best time for me to be building my business, you know? And so these stories, these kind of like limiting beliefs that we have, and how to move past those fears that are stopping us from pursuing our goals or our next level or whatever it is, like, can we talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I love talking about this. And it's so interesting how when we're at that new level, those same voices of fear and those same voices of limitation almost like mask themselves, like, hey, I'm a new story. Like, hey, yeah, this is something new and different. When it really is just those same limitations acting like a handbrake. And you know, mm-hmm, it's like if you insert a different story, but it all sounds the same, and it's essentially a means to keep us where we are. Like, I love our minds. We wouldn't be able to do what we do if it weren't for our minds, and yet our mind is not necessarily geared for our growth. Like, if we understand the part of our brain that's really driving us, like if we understand the sort of primordial parts of our brain, what it loves more than growth and what it loves more than giving us what we want and what's on our vision board is it loves certainty. Because it thinks that if, you know, it sticks with what it knows, then it will be safe. Because it just wants to keep us safe. Like, it's not trying to be a dick. It cares about us so much that it wants to keep us where we are because it knows that we're safe there. And so I think when we learn to accept that anytime we're expanding or anytime we grow, there are naturally going to be these fears that crop up, and they're not because what we're doing is the wrong decision. It's happening because we're growing. It's happening because we're moving into uncharted territory. So when we can actually learn to accept that and see that as a part of the process, like literally put it in your diary and be like, okay, so I'm trying something new. So at 10 p.m. tonight, this is when fear's arriving. You know, it's like, because it always happens. And yet somehow we feel so derailed by it at the time because it's like, well, I'm a new me now. I thought I wasn't human anymore, you know? And it's like, these things happen and it's so normal. And I think when we can learn to understand the process, we can have so much more compassion for it, because it is our mind actually trying to be kind to us. It's trying to keep us safe. Like, how freaking sweet is it? Like, how lovely is it? And yet at the same time, fuck you, mind. Like, don't slow me down. Like, I got places to go.
Yeah, exactly. Like, your mind doesn't care about your goals. Like, it's kind of like there's two parts of you. There's the human part, which is the instinctual, like, survival level, like, we need to survive and spread our spawn. Like, that's it. And then there's the soul part of you that's just like, I want to save the world and I want to develop into the most like magical version of myself. And there's like, you know, these really like these two parts that can work so magically together, and they do. However, they're very opposing. Like, they're telling you opposing actions, if you will. Like, they, one says, but we already know that you stay alive if all you do is go to work, you know? And why would you change that? Like, why would you possibly compromise this? And then there's like other parts of ourselves that are like, oh, but you know, like, can you imagine if we just quit our job and traveled the world and met our soulmate? Like, oh my gosh, it would just be the most amazing thing ever. And they're just like such conflicting stories. But it is true. I think like understanding that on a basic level, that just like, hey, that story's always going to be there. What are you going to do about it? You know, like, what do you want? Like, do you want to be held back? No, then make a fucking different decision. Like, it does get to be that easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And another sneaky little thing our mind tends to do, bless its cotton softs, but like, our mind loves to make us the special exception. So it can look at, you know, it could look at you, V, and be like, oh my God, she's doing amazing things. But like, you know, just wait for that but, because your mind loves them. Like, I'm not saying your mind loves your butt. I mean, our minds do love your butt, but I mean, as in like, our mind loves to be like, oh yeah, well, it's all well and good for that person because she's married to someone. It's all well and good for that person, but our mind loves to make us the special exception where it thinks that somehow things are different for us. And this is like the core of imposter syndrome, where people think like, who am I to help? You know, like, who am I to show up in the world? Who will want to listen to me? Because all of a sudden our mind is telling us that the people are doing the stuff that we want to do are somehow fundamentally different from us. And it's not true. And not only is it not true, I think it's sort of like, I think we need to take that permission slip away from ourselves, because when we buy into the imposter syndrome and we buy into the idea that there are some people that are primed to succeed and some people that, you know, it's just like a sure thing for, and some people that it's easy for, really we're just giving ourselves permission to not be who we came here to be. And so we sort of need to take that permission slip away from ourselves, because it's actually not fair. Like, I think often we think that our dreams and our goals are selfish, but if the intent and our goals are actually to help people and to serve people, then rather than being like, well, who am I to help? It's like, well, who the fuck are you not to help? If your genuine intention is to want to help people, it's like, why are we so focused on ourselves and why are we so focused on what people think of us and people judging us? If what we really want to do is help other people, like, the people that we're there to help need to be way more important and like way more top of mind than our limiting stories.
Yeah, it's so true. It's just like, can you imagine if like the guy who invented electricity was just like, oh, I'm not good enough. Like, I haven't been awarded the best scientist in the world, so I may as well just not invent electricity. Like, we'd be fucked right now. Like, you know, like, can you imagine? Like, it's selfish. No, the world needs you right now, dude. Like, we need Wi-Fi in the future. Yeah. Like, get on this. Like, it's like,
yeah, and you can, seriously. And you can bet as well, like, when Thomas Edison was making the light bulb, like, there were people around him that were talking about him and just being like, oh my gosh, like, he's such a dick. He didn't come to my dinner party because he was off in his little room. Like, he's so weird. And like, you know, I always invite him out to places and he never wants to come along. Like, he needs to sort out his priorities.
I always imagine like the conversations that people were having with like the Warner Brothers parents, like, you need to get your kids checked. Like, have you got them checked? Because, like, they think they can chuck a hunk of metal in the air and fly. Like, they are cuckoo bird. Or, like, imagine, like, the person who invented, like, radio waves. Like, that is the most fucked up thing ever. Like, even today, I'm like, you sound crazy when people describe to me how the radio works. I'm like,
and it's so funny. With him, his friends and family literally got him tested, like, psychologically.
Yeah, that's right.
Because mm-hmm. they thought he was insane.
Yeah.
And it seems that's right. insane before it's a reality. You know, yeah. like, it's bizarre because the vision exists within us. And I think that's where it's important as well. A lot of people, especially when they're starting out in business or just thinking about it, one thing they get really bogged down by is unsupportive friends or family, or their partner yeah. doesn't get it. And I think we sort of need to have compassion for them as well, because for one thing, like, you know, the vision's in our heart. It's not necessarily top of mind for other people. So, you know, it's sort of understandable they don't see the vision because mm-hmm. it exists within us. You know, it's like a budding little seedling. So we can't expect everyone else to get it. And especially when the people around us, like, they want to see us safe, like our precious mind, you know, it wants to see us safe. It wants to see us happy. But there's a lot of people that still think that the way to do that is to have a steady job. Like, you know, mm-hmm. if you want to be financially successful, then you need to have financial security. And so, you know, you might be wanting to quit your job and start out in a business, and your parents might be like, ooh, like, that's really not a good idea. And it can feel hard at first, but they're doing it because they love us. Mm-hmm. They're doing it because they care and they don't want to see us without. And yet at the same time, we need to believe in our potential more yeah. than our limitations.
Yeah. It's like people, they can only, like, give advice, or, like, they can only meet you where their mind's willing to go. And I find, like, most people, when they say, oh, you couldn't do that, what they mean is, I couldn't do that. I tried that before and I failed. I know someone who did that and it scared me so much that I would never try it. And it's like, when we start to think of it that way, we actually do have so much more compassion. I love that you said that, because I was actually going to ask you, like, I think, and at every stage it's different, you know, at the start it might be that we're worried about our unsupportive friends and family. But the thing is that as we go on, it's like, then we're, like, nervous about talking about our spiritual beliefs and coming out of the spiritual closet. And then we're nervous, like, that if we really say things the way we want, or, like, you tell people that you used to cope by smoking weed, like when we tell people these things, then suddenly we're not going to appear attractive or professional or mm-hmm. expert enough, and we're going to be condemned. You know, like, we have these thoughts all the time, and it's like, how do you specifically manage, and maybe have advice for the audience as well, like, as you do step into more authenticity, which is such a place of vulnerability, as you do allow yourself to be more of yourself and just be you, like, how do you manage, kind of, or do you even notice that you have thoughts around, like, oh my God, I couldn't possibly do that, or what would people think, or, you know, like, how do you manage that?
It's definitely like a feel the fear and do it anyway situation, because, like you said, you know, you can have these levels of success and at the next level, these fears crop up. I think for me, it's like getting quite clear and centered on who I'm here to be and what my mission is, because mm-hmm. in wanting to help people, like, yeah, it's amazing when we show our success and we become inspirational and aspirational for other people. But for the majority of people that are struggling, it feels so much kinder when we meet them where they're at, or at least have, like, so that they see us and they can relate to us and they're like, oh, I'm not such a piece of crap, because there are people that can do these things and they've experienced that as well. I think it's so amazing when we show up with all parts of ourselves present, because then it also minimizes people's stories of, yeah, but I can't do that, because when you show up with all those sides of yourselves, it gives people an understanding that, like, the human experience is not black and white. It's not like you have this dodgy path and then that's all that's for you in this life. It's like, we can pivot from these experiences. We can learn from these experiences. And I know for me, for certain, like, I have been alchemized and transformed from this experience. I have never had an experience in my life that has transformed me as much as the grit and the darkness and the shame and the guilt and the density that I felt in those times, almost in a way that it literally stripped me clean. Like, it seems counterproductive, but it was from those times that I literally felt purified. It was from my deepest shame. I remember this one time I had shame literally radiating through my whole entire body. and it was cleansing. It doesn't make sense to the conscious mind, but I think oftentimes our mind can't perceive the effect we have on other people. So there have been plenty of people, like in those times where I've been like, oh, this is pretty vulnerable, but you know, since I'm in integrity to authenticity, I'm going to share it even though it's hard. And sometimes the specific people that you think might judge you are the exact people that reach out to you afterwards and say, it was really good to hear your story because this is what I've been going through. Mm-hmm. Like oftentimes the people that have been struggling the most are the ones that have the thickest, shiniest, polished masks on. Mm-hmm. And they're so afraid to let the world in that I think at the time that we go to be vulnerable and share what's true for us, we can't see what that means for other people. But when we show up, we give other people permission to do that. And I think that like one thing we learned in psychology way back in the day, distant dream ago, was one thing we learned about subject positions, which is this idea that when you show up in a particular way, you give people permission to also take that up, which is why it's so important in the media that there are representations of all types of identity, why it's so important that there are gay and trans and all races represented, all disabilities represented, all able-bodiedness represented, is because the more we are exposed to something, the more cool and okay and normal it seems. So if all we want to see in the world is more perfection, like sure, put on your perfect polish and show up. But if you actually want to see more diversity and more inclusiveness in the world, then we need to be a part of that. Like we need to participate.
Absolutely. And I think like there's so many like gold points to what you said. And I think it's like, it is really one of those moments where you have to understand that probably in the moment when you're faced with vulnerability or whatever, your mind is going to tell you, F this, run, you know, but that's the exact thing we were talking about before. It's your mind keeping you safe. It's like, who do you want to be? And remembering that it's so powerful, and some things are going to hit people the right way and some things are going to hit people the wrong way. Like I remember when I was first starting to share more about different aspects of my personal growth, and I was just going through a phase where I was really reflecting a lot on the way I was parented, and I was bringing up some of those conversations, and I remember my mom was like, oh, I'm sorry I was a bad mom. And I was like, no, I said, this isn't actually about you. Like, I think you're the best mom ever. I know you did your best and I love everything about you. Just the way that I realized some beliefs got formed in my mind because of the way that I perceived specific things, because I'm a different human than you, just came out this way, and I have to deal with them now. And I said, and you doing this like actually brings up more fear in me. I said, you know, please just understand that I love you so much, and this actually, although it seems like it has to do with you, it has nothing to do with you. Just please let me work through this, you know, like. And that was it. And it was just like so scary. And I know sometimes we do fear that. And I had a client who just wrote and published a book. I mean, she's amazing, but she talked about as well that she was so scared to bring it out because of what her family might be offended. And, you know, so we have these thoughts, but it's actually, it's so powerful. And she was able to have a really great conversation with her family, and her family just supported her, and they all bought a book, and it was amazing. And it's like, so often we actually liberate others, you know, we give people permission. We make people feel better. Like if there's just so much goodness that can come from it, and it's always going to be a good thing. Like when we choose the right thing, when we choose honesty, when we choose love, when we choose to show up from that space, it's always, always, always going to be a good thing.
And there's so much genuine intimacy that comes from that honesty.
Yeah.
Like if, especially if we start to become more aware of our patterns and the things that have driven us, if we don't share that with people, then it almost feels like we're keeping something between them. So like you having that conversation with your mom, if that was on your heart, like that means that there can be so much more genuine intimacy because there's just no, there's nothing between you. Mm-hmm. And so although those conversations are uncomfortable, usually on the other side of them is so much more genuine intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like it's so true. And depth to your relationships with everyone in your life, you know, because I think it also allows you to move deeper into yourself, which allows other people to show up more vulnerably or, you know, in whatever capacity around you as well. I think, yeah, that's such an important topic and so cool. And I love that you're such a leader in this, a fierce leader in this. And yeah, you just really, really challenge yourself to be there for what you're here for rather than what feels comfortable at the time. Because, yeah, we all know that ain't getting anybody far.
No. It worked for a while, but like that's the old system. This is the new system.
Exactly. So if you could give like a piece of advice to the listeners, that are, you know, whatever stage that they're in and they're working through, you know, well, actually anything to do with your message, if you could just like tap into anything that you feel like we've covered already that you want to hit the point home more with, or something that we haven't talked about yet that you feel like would really be kind of like a beneficial message to the listeners, what would you say?
I would just remind them that like the world actually needs you. And I believe that on a deeper level, everything's perfect and everything's as it meant to be. But if you've had thoughts in your head that sort of second guess your ability to help people, or second guess how you're going to show up in this life and in business, if the world didn't need you, then we would have zero problems. Like if, you know, if it's easy to go online and be like, but there are 10 billion coaches already. It's like, well, if you didn't need to show up and if you were unessential, you wouldn't be here and the world would be free of problems. Like I think when we're so used to ourselves, we forget our own magic and we forget our own genius. And we forget, you know, the things that come natural to us, the stuff that we take for granted, we forget that we live in a very different world than the people that we're often here to help. Like, you know, we've up-leveled and we have a level of perspective that if they had, it would be like medicine. And so I think we so often downplay our unique brilliance because we're so used to it. But we need to understand actually that, especially when we have this dream on our heart, especially when we have this dream that we want to unleash upon the world, almost at the time it feels like, well, if I get it, like it's selfish, which isn't true. Like we have these dreams for a reason, and who we become in the process is the magic. Because if we don't enjoy the journey, there's no, like, there's nothing to say that we'll feel better then. We have to accept that where we are now is perfect. We have to be able to have fun now and feel good now, because your happiness is not on the other side of six figures or seven figures. There is nothing to say that will feel any differently then. Like you said in your mastermind, there are people with all kinds of different levels of success that have the same problems. So if we're unwilling to actually feel good about where we're at now, then there's nothing to say that anything changing in our external world will change anything. So relax now, like breathe now, feel good now, because success will come if that's what you keep leaning into on the daily. But don't think that your happiness will happen because of that success. Your success will happen because of your happiness.
Mic drop. Boom. Yes. Love it.
Boom.
So good and so needed. I think that's, yeah, so, so, so incredibly important to remember. This has been amazing, Michaela. Thank you so much for joining me. One pregnant mama to another. Woo, woo. I know, so fun. Let us know, like, where's your favorite places to hang out? Where can people come chill with you and kind of get more into your vibe?
So I know I'm going to sound like an absolute grandma, but I've only recently just discovered Instagram stories and how amazing
yes,
they are.
They're the best.
So like, I know. So like, I'm a Facebook girl through and through, but like, Instagram stories are my favorite. Like that's where you get a real taste of where I'm at, who I am, all that sort of thing. But even still, my best wisdom is probably dropped on Facebook. That's where I do all my lives. At the moment, I'm doing a daily live challenge, so you'll see me there a lot. So we'll post the links below, but come over, add me as a friend. Like I said, because I'm pregnant, I actually know this was in the conversation we were having previously. I've been so discerning. So I've recently done a Facebook cull and now I'm excited to make a whole bunch of new friends.
Yeah.
I'm like, I culled the people I vibed with like 5 years ago. And now I'm like, okay, I'm bringing in my next level of people. So come over, add me as a friend and we can chat.
Yes, absolutely. And also your podcast. You got to share that.
So Pays to Be You is my podcast. I'm doing either one or two episodes a week, whatever feels good at the time. So we'll put the links below for that, but you can search it in iTunes and Spotify, in other places, but I watch podcasts or listen to podcasts on Spotify and iTunes.
Yeah,
I just put them where I like to go.
Yeah, of course, of course. Yeah, and that's the Pays to Be You podcast, which is super cool, and it also is going to be featuring an episode of me, so better go check it out. But yeah, thank you so much, and as always to the listeners, I love you so much. Thank you for joining me on the podcast. I'm just so happy that you're here, because literally we wouldn't be here without you, and I always love hearing the value that this is creating. So if this has touched you in some way, or you've learned something or had a mind blown moment, please reach out to either of us and let us know that you're loving it. If you want to screenshot the episode and put it on your Instagram story and tag both of us, I'm at Viola Hug. Michaela is _Michaela Lloyd. Yeah.
Yeah, girl, you got it.
Yeah, that's Michaela. And obviously the link's going to be below, but please tag us and upload the story. And remember, if you do upload an like a screenshot of an episode on your story and tag us, you can be featured as one of the listeners of the week on the podcast as well. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Michaela. And I will catch you all again on the next episode of the Abundant Babes podcast.